Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. With me, as always, is Kyle. And we're back to usual this week. Kyle has had a vacation. He's recuperated.
I'm rested and ready.
Done and dusted. You guys out there really enjoyed that. So thank everybody for tuning in.
I did see a fellow on YouTube who commented right answer that we got the right answer and it was only close due to recency bias. And I hope for you, brave commenter, I hope that's the case. I hope that as time goes by, we look back and be like, oh man, yeah, thank God Ben Johnson worked out. So keeping Eberflus really is just a blip.
I will say, last word on that. I woke up the next day and I was like, what the fuck was I talking about? Trestman was obviously the answer.
Yeah,
what was I doing?
I hope we never have cause to revisit that one and wonder if we got it wrong. Because if Ben Johnson makes the playoffs this year and he salvages Caleb Williams, then no, you're not even gonna think about Matt Eberflus again other than to shit talk him. But
that's right. Yeah,
and crack jokes. So
yeah. So we have a grab bag of news today, Kyle. We're going to talk a little about Ryan Poles.
Yeah, let's talk about Ryan Poles. I go on vacation for the first time in three fucking years. Okay, my first vacation with the kids since pre-COVID. I didn't even have kids last time I went on a family vacation. I had kid, and I'm out. You know, I'm in northern Minnesota. The connectivity is not great, and I'm just blissfully I'm connecting with nature. I'm freezing my tits off in a pool that, no matter what Anderson's Cove Resort says, was a heated pool. It was not a fucking heated pool. But I'm connecting with nature. I'm enjoying family time. And what do I find out upon my return, Travis? Well, I was gone for 5 days, and while I was gone, you let them fucking extend Ryan Poles, you piece of shit.
I did.
I can't leave you in charge of anything.
Well, Kyle, here's the deal. When you leave me in charge, all I know is the Iowa Hawkeyes. So I was like, well, this is like modest compared to what Kirk Ferentz gets.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean,
you know, 2029 at the least. You got to go out to that next recruiting class, right? It's the end of that recruiting class, so 4 years. That's probably what they were thinking, yeah?
Yeah, well, and here's the thing with the Ryan Poles extension. I think, kind of like, remember earlier in the offseason when we were talking about Ryan Poles trading for Jonah Jackson, and we were like, this is an okay move if...
Yeah.
And the if was key, and then he actually followed through on the if. He made other moves, and then we were like, yeah, okay, Jonah Jackson as step one of a three-step plan to fix your offensive line is fine. Four-step plan, really, because they also addressed it in the draft, too. This is I can't defend as easily, and I don't know that I want to defend it, but this is, in some ways, it's a fait accompli, because you had two options with Ryan Poles. You really did. Option A, which I think we all kind of wanted him to take, was clean house and get rid of him and Eberflus both in January. But it sounds like he was somewhat instrumental in Ben Johnson actually coming here. Maybe there'd be Boston College ties or whatever. The way that was phrased is still like it. I can't tell if what they were saying is that Ben Johnson decided he could work with Ryan Poles, or Ben Johnson wanted to work with Ryan Poles. It was phrased weird in that one article that I think we both read. But anyways, so the option A was getting rid of it was cleaning house in January. I think we all preferred that. But then once you don't do that, once you keep Ryan Poles and you let him hire a coach and you let him hire the coach that we wanted, then you have to tie him to the coach because there needs to be synchronicity in this organization. That was why we spent so much time on the Jerry Angelo thing in our tournament, is because of how often this organization has not had synchronicity. I don't know if that's the right word that I need to say. Between, you know, right now you have theoretically a GM who has picked his coach in Ben Johnson. And in Ben Johnson, you sort of have a coach who, no, he didn't draft Caleb Williams, but he wanted to be here last year so that he could. He came here because Caleb Williams was here. So I think you could safely say this is, you know, Caleb Williams is Ben Johnson's quarterback. Like that's, he wanted, you know, so you have alignment here. You have synchronicity. I'm standing next to you in silent lucidity. I don't know where I went with that.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
You flying off into left field.
So
going back into outer space.
Anyways, once you kept Ryan Poles, you have to sync him to your coach is what I'm saying. And I think so that's the logic behind this extension, obviously. But I think you and I are both afraid of the most Bears possibility here, which is that they disappoint this year and they win seven or fewer games and everyone's out for blood, and fuck knows everyone will be out for blood. And then you fire Ryan Poles as a sop to the fans, because you're still committed to Caleb Williams for at least, I would say, 2 more years.
Yeah.
You're barring a complete and total Zach Wilson year two. And you're definitely committed to Ben Johnson for at least 2 years. So the sacrificial lamb then out of the Holy Trinity there has to be Ryan Poles. So I think that's what we're afraid of, because, or the maybe more embarrassing option, that they go 6-11 or whatever, and you still don't fire Ryan Poles, and then you just accept that Ryan Poles is unfireable. Like, the man will just survive anything. Because, I mean, then you're just ripping jokes all year long, because, like, he'll be what? If he wins 6 games this year, he'll be, what, like, 25-50-something?
Yeah.
As the GM of the Bears, and he just keeps rolling off. Like, what GM do you know gets 4 seasons to build something and not make a single playoff appearance? It'd be laughable to keep him, but that's kind of the situation they've put themselves in. If they don't make the playoffs this year, it's either fire Ryan Poles and unsync the whole goddamn thing again, because then you're bringing in another GM who didn't get to pick his coach and didn't get to pick his quarterback, or you keep him, which is almost more embarrassing, and you just admit that, like, the bar is in hell and there's basically nothing this man can do to get fired. So that's where I think you and I, it's the if you and I are worried about.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you said the reasoning behind this is that they're syncing him up with Ben Johnson, and I just don't know what the alternative is. This is, you know, I mentioned Kirk Ferentz already. So I've been through these ridiculous contracts myself. And it's always just like, who are you protecting him from? You know, what do you think is going to happen if he just doesn't have a contract at the end of this year, at the end of the year after? Like, someone else is just like, ooh, fucking Ryan Poles. He did such a bang up job with those Chicago Bears. Like, right. Let's steal him.
Yeah,
like,
you're really worried you're not going to be able to extend this guy a year from now. And also, like, what leverage does Ryan Poles have right now? Like, this is not, again, I understand why your star quarterback can threaten to hold out when he's only got 1 year left on his deal. And it's like, I won't play unless I've got security and long term. And, you know, even a head coach with some leverage could be like, I'm not coaching on a 1 year contract. I can't do my job with this hanging over me. Blah, blah, blah. If you have a coach with leverage, what's Ryan Poles going to fucking do realistically if you don't extend him right now? Is he going to walk? Is he going to be like, you know what? Right. I'm going to hold out a GMing. I'm not going to sign I'm not going to sign this year's Yannick Ngakoue a day before training camp starts. Then what are you going to fucking do without old Ryan Poles to bail you out this summer? Like, what's he going to do?
Is someone not going to sign with the Bears specifically because Ryan Poles doesn't have job security? Like, is that a thing? Like, I don't think so, Bears.
Yeah, it's and then the optics, of course, are just fucking terrible. I know we are all, like, we're all just fucking pissed that everyone's getting their jokes in about the Bears extending this GM who so far has realistically got, I mean, we have hope, but so far has nothing to show for 3 seasons and 2 number 1 overall picks and 4 top 10 picks and a lot of second round picks and all the stuff that he's done. So it feels bad. I don't blame anyone for just seeing the headlines and just being fucking pissed.
Yeah. Absolutely. And like you said, we're getting into season preview stuff here. We're going to edge into that. Training camp's about to open up, preseasons in a couple of weeks. So we can start talking about schedules. We can start talking about all that. And you look at this Bears schedule. Last year we looked at the schedule and I kept saying, if you think the Bears are going to be above 500, they have to start the season minimum 6-3, maybe 7-2 because of how bad the second half of the schedule is. And that's what ended up happening. You know, they didn't hit that mark. And then, yeah, it got even worse the second half of the season. But they were never going to get above 500. This year, you look at the schedule, above 500 is going to be like a real benchmark for this Bears team. If they get to 9-8, they've really accomplished something this season compared to how bad they were last year. They are playing some hard teams on the road. They are playing tough teams at home. We play in the hardest division in the NFL, and the odds of a 6-11 season for this team, even if we're positive about Caleb Williams and about some of the young guys on this team, that is near the top of the bell curve for this Bears team. Absolutely. And then you just think about, like, what are the fans going to want? Of course they're going to want to fire Ryan Poles. They're going to want to keep Caleb Williams. He could look good, and we could win 6 or 7 games. No question. We're not getting rid of Ben Johnson, like you said. How do the Bears avoid firing Ryan Poles at that point? And then what? You're just going to eat this money? That's the thing that you're always trying to avoid doing? It's just like a move to make a move. And it just, that's the frustrating part to me. It's not that he could be around till then. You're a GM. You're around until you get fired, right? Like, that's it. It doesn't really matter how many years are on your deal. The issue is just, like, why? Why did you do this? You didn't need to.
Yeah, it feels like a place where they just did what conventional wisdom is, you know? Because, like, yeah, I agree. The conventional wisdom is, yes, you extend your GM and you sink his contract to your head coach, so theoretically you can get rid of them both together. But again, in reality, you're giving Ryan Poles security he hasn't earned. You don't really have any fear of losing this man if he does have a good season. Like, do we really, yeah, like you said, do we, even if they have a good season this year, if they go 11-6 or whatever, and you, does that up to 17? You sure does. Look at me. Good, they go 11-6 this year for the first time in 4 years. Do we really think anybody's going to be like, this is all due to Ryan Poles. I got to swoop, and he's a free agent. I got to swoop in and get him from Chicago.
Right.
They're going to be like, yeah, the motherfucker Ben Johnson did that. It took him 4 years to get that far. So no one's going to try to steal him away. Just feels like a place where it would make sense to buck conventional wisdom here. And just don't do it right now. Just don't. At worst, do it at midseason if they get to your 6-3, like you said. Are you really going to tell me Ryan Poles can't do his job with this hanging over his head? Like, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. So, anyways, I'm not like, God damn it, fucking Bear. I'm not like cartoonishly angry about this, but it's a move I would just have preferred they not make. I get the logic behind it. I get the quote unquote conventional wisdom behind it, but like, you and I both know that when things go south, you're going to buck the conventional wisdom and you are going to get rid of the asshole. So like, why, this is all you can do is set yourself up to lose here.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you've run out of other fireable people. Like, you can't even fire a coordinator. They're all in their first year, dude. Like there's only one guy. Maybe they re-signed him here and extended him just so they could like really fire him. They're like, no, we mean business. Like, he's got 3 years left on his deal, all right? We're a serious franchise right now. We fire people while they still have money on their contract now. No, it reeks of the old Bears logic of presenting a united front, even though that doesn't make sense. You know, it's Kevin Warren and Ben Johnson wanting to be like, yeah, and we're in this with Ryan Poles and the McCaskies and everybody. We're all pointing the same way. This boat, all of our oars are rowing in the same direction. And it's like, you don't have to do that because maybe that makes you feel better. But for everybody else, it just makes you look like a joke organization for extending a GM that has done everything it like record wise to get fired. I mean, I don't hate most of the moves that he makes. I think he does an acceptable job. He's probably the second best GM that we've known for the Bears. So since 1988, yeah, probably. But it's just, he hasn't earned it, man. And that's just not saying much from this franchise.
Well, so. And I think we are both Ryan Poles, like, I think we're both middle of the road on Ryan Poles, guys.
I think we like him a lot more than most Bears fans.
Yeah, like, we're not even super, and I still don't think, like, I think we're more positive than most. I see a path where he becomes a really good GM from here. We've talked before, like, but we mostly understand the logic behind a lot of his moves, even the ones that didn't work out. We can't pretend we didn't back the Claypool move, you know, as you said. And I think he has an understanding of, you know, draft pick value and things like that. And, you know, if he has a flaw, his main flaw, well, for one, is their pro scouting department sucks because all their free agent signings mostly tend to suck ass. But two, I do think it's that it sounds like he errs on the side of really giving his coaches what they want. You know, Tremaine Edmonds was 100% an Eberflus move. A lot of their signings were Eberflus moves. And then so far this offseason, everything he's done looks exactly like Ben Johnson would have done if he was just running the show entirely by himself, you know? And maybe that is what a good GM does, is he's there to just give his coach the tools his coach says he needs. But then incredibly incumbent on you to get the coaching hire right. And he whiffed badly on the first one, even though there is debate as to how much of that was truly his choice. But I think there's a path for him becoming a really good GM from here. He could still be here 10 years from now. I see a realistic path where that happens. But I wouldn't have given them the contract right now on the possibility that that could happen. Because if this season goes south, he looks like the worst GM in Bears history. Because he will have wasted more draft capital than any Bears GM has ever had in my life. Yeah. To accomplish nothing in 4 years.
It's true. This goes from like cautious optimism to holy shit, is this GM worse than Eberflus was as a coach? Like instantly. Just one season, it can turn that way. Now, however, in the category of Kang polls, we have got two second round picks who have signed for the Bears, and that is two more than most teams in the NFL can say. I guess we should update people. I assume everybody listening to this podcast knows what's going on, but maybe as a historical time capsule, it would be nice to talk about Nick Caserio's dumbass right now. The Texans GM is really on a fucking roll, isn't he, Kyle? He has made some of the most perplexing fucking decisions with that franchise. He is doing everything in his power to harm the Texans, and now he's just trying to throw the entire NFL into disarray. He fully guaranteed his second round picks contract. Jaden Higgins, the 34th overall pick, fully guaranteed 4-year $11.7 million deal. And in the most predictable situation that could have come of this, every single other second round pick said, "Well, fully guarantee my deal, asshole."
Yeah.
And we have a full second round holdout going on.
Right. And of course, in the NFL, where we know collusion is definitely not a real thing.
Of course.
Every other team has seemingly locked ranks and refused to bow. So
now, to be clear, there couldn't be a more obvious move, right? Because you can't set this fucking precedent. The Browns almost immediately caved because they had the one second round pick that was above Jaden Higgins. They said, "Well, we're fucked." So they fully guaranteed Schwesinger's contract. Everybody else has remained unsigned for a while. And then a couple little pogs fell over the last couple days.
A couple pogs.
The pogs
remember
are back.
Alf?
And
he's
they want fully guaranteed contracts.
Form.
Alf wants a fully guaranteed contract, folks. So the 43rd overall pick.
But who is the slammer, Travis? If these are the pogs, who is the slammer?
The 49ers managed to work out
a deal.
Does that
make Jaden Higgins the slammer? The slammer that put the pogs in motion? And
Nick Caserio is definitely the guy throwing the slammer in. So yes, it has to be. It has to be Jaden Higgins. I really hope we have
some Gen Z listeners who are fucking Googling pogs now. That's what I want, guys.
What Gen Z would love? Pogs. Circular, smooth, cool images on them.
You know what? 100%. Yeah, we're due for a pog revival. I feel like Gen Z could definitely go for pogs. Oh man, I had X-Men.
Bro, we
pog.
should make pogs and sell them to Gen Alpha.
Start Kyle Orton pogs, scogs, like with my face and your face on them. Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Would...
Don't take our fucking idea, people.
Yeah,
we're gonna do.
No,
that.
We're
right.
Trademarking it. I will sue them.
Anyway, the 43rd overall pick did get signed.
X-Men pogs. I really love my X-Men pogs. Anyways,
and the deal was essentially, all right, we'll guarantee the first couple years and then partial guarantees after that. And that's essentially what Poles has done here. Poles basically said, look, if number 43 got that deal, you can't be unhappy with that. So Ozzie Trapio got that. He got 2 years fully guaranteed. Third year is three quarters guaranteed. And then they've got the option that last year. Word is the same deal as what's going on with Shamar Turner. We don't have the full details on that contract yet. Of course, Luther Burden has not yet signed because he is a lot closer to number 34 than he is to the other Bears picks. Ozzie Trapio is 56. So Burden is going to be holding out for a little bit, which sucks because he missed a lot of OTAs
already. I feel like that's... and. There are already whispers about his character and bullshit from Missouri, and like I hate
just
that
not his fault.
No, none of this is his fault. I hate that circumstances have aligned that he's the one that still hasn't signed because you know somebody's gonna make it. There were people making a whole like Ben Johnson was asked during mini camps or OTAs or whichever, like, you know, how much does Luther Burden miss by being out with an injury? And Ben Johnson was like, oh, he misses a lot. It's important to be, blah, you know, and he gave an honest answer.
Yeah.
But I saw so many people post that clip and edit it in a way that made it look like Ben Johnson was just ranting at Luther Burden like he needed to get his ass out. He was asked a question like, what does a rookie miss when he's not there for OTAs? And Ben Johnson, you want Ben Johnson to say nothing? This shit's not important? Or do you want him to answer honestly? Like, yeah, it'd obviously be really good if the guy was out there for install and it's going to put him behind the eight ball to start camp. Yeah. Gave an honest answer. And people, I didn't like how people twisted that into like a Ben Johnson's call it out Luther Burden, because I didn't read it like that at all. I don't think anybody should. So I don't like that this contributes to a possible narrative about Luther Burden. But yeah, hopefully I think he'll be signed before camp. I'm not really worried about it. The Bears are usually pretty good about getting contracts in under the wire, even though they no longer have Cliff Stein, contract genius extraordinaire / the guy that was always leaking dumb shit to Greg Gabriel, doing their contracts anymore. They're still good at it. So
you're thinking Burden will be signed before camp. Do you think the rest of these second rounders, because he's pretty high. I mean, he's pick 39. Higgins is pick 34.
I don't know.
There's a breaking point here somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if all of them will be, but I do think Burden will be signed before camp.
Do they have to fully guarantee his deal?
No, I don't think they do.
Okay.
Although I do think the Bears probably have the most leverage with Burden out of the three second round picks. Like, I feel like, you know, what I'd be telling Luther Burden is like, you know, DJ Moore so far has been a good soldier this offseason. Roma Dunze is obviously starting for us. And Olamide Zaccheaus is, you know, big fan of him. I am, but he's a solid NFL, like solid, productive NFL wide receiver. Like, you are already going to be fighting this guy for snaps as a rookie. So like, if we need to, we have no concerns about rolling in week one with our top three wide receivers being DJ, Rome, and Zaccheaus. So if you want to play ball, I mean, you're probably the one that's going to lose out here. So I think they have a little more leverage there. Obviously with Trapio currently likely did they say is Braxton Jones going to be ready for training camp?
They do not know. And it sounds like he may have had another setback, which that's is actually, I was going to say that might be the reason the Bears jumped on.
Yeah. Trapio. Like, hey, yeah. Man, so they
take
need
this deal.
Yeah. So like, they obviously needed Trapio in, and then,
I think, okay, so I'm kind of going to run the devil's advocate here. Guy who got taken after Luther Burden is suddenly very important to being in camp for that team, and that's Tyler Shough for the Saints. That's their quarterback right now.
Oh my god! Did we even talk about that? That Derek Carr just ran? Or
no, no, no. We're going to talk about that next week when we do QB rankings. Okay.
Are we doing? Yeah. Oh god, you're going to make me.
You got to get your list together, Kyle.
I ain't getting shit together.
If one team is going to give in on this and screw it up for the teams ahead of them, it is definitely the Saints. And I could 100% see them fully guaranteeing a deal. And at that point, the choice for the Bears is easy. You can't really negotiate with Burden, right? The guy behind you got fully guaranteed. Okay, sign the fully guaranteed contract. Like, screw the Saints. That sucks. And this sets a precedent going forward that all the top 40 picks get that. But at least it makes it easier for the Bears. And I do wonder if that's going to happen. I think everybody after that, I think those teams can kind of wait. Like, there's nobody who they're just like, oh, we really need this guy to be in camp. The next guy who really needed to be in camp at this point was Ozzie Trapio. But I think there's a decent possibility that the Saints jump. And that the Bears have to fully guarantee the contract for Burden, which I don't really care. It's not my money. But it does. It sets a precedent. And for some reason, Nick Caserio just didn't fucking think about it. I guess, like, the way it is told in the media right now is simply that Jaden Higgins said, you should fully guarantee my deal. And Nick Caserio just said, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, it wasn't even a concern, not a thought in that man's head.
Yeah.
One thing I learned about Nick Caserio this week, very odd
offseason.
Did you know he played college football with Josh McDaniels and London Fletcher? At some university called John Carroll. I have no idea how all three of those guys ended up there. Anyway, fuck Nick Caserio, fuck what he's doing to the Texans and what he is doing to every other team in the NFL with these. I don't blame anybody in the second round, by the way. I want to be very clear. All these guys should say, fully guarantee my contract if that guy's getting it. They should do that. The problem is the GM who did it first. That's the issue.
Yeah, no, nobody should fault the players for wanting to jump on this. They absolutely not. And just like with the Bengals, nobody should fault Shamar Stewart either, even though we are not fans of Shamar Stewart as a player. Like, no one should fault him for not taking the absolute bullshit deal that the Bengals are trying to foist on him. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we were going to talk about training camp a little bit.
Yeah.
We're going to do a little preview. You said you wanted to preview it a little bit. What specifically would you like to talk about?
Well, should we talk about the state of the roster as we approach the eve of camp? What position groups are we feeling good about, Travis? What position groups are we not feeling so good about? And what are you listening for? What are you going to be keeping a nervous eye or ear out for in the training camp reports?
There's a lot of good questions in there. Okay, so first of all, obviously the thing we're keeping our eye on, we already kind of talked about, it's the left tackle situation. We've got Braxton Jones injured, and again, the rumor is that he had a setback. He may not be ready for week one at this point. So then it becomes a competition between Kieran Amagaji and Ozzie Trapio, which is not the competition you want for your starting left tackle to start the year, but it will be interesting, certainly. This will be the first time we've got a three-way Ryan Poles battle at a position, so no favorites here. Mm. Ryan Poles drafted all these guys. I would say the thing
considered the third member of this competition?
It would be Braxton, and then Amagaji, and then Trapia.
Okay. Yeah, sure. All right. That's a three-way competition, sure.
Well, they're all Ryan Poles picks, all right? And before, mm-hmm. we've seen that the Poles choices are going to get preference, right? Which is why the Ferret King stuck around for as long as he did. Yeah, you're always going to see. Oh, and guess what? Guess who's still on the fucking team, Kyle? Guess who's clinging on to this fucking franchise for no goddamn reason at all. Dominic Robinson is still on this team and is apparently favored to make the roster. I'm going to watch that.
Well, that, I guess that doesn't necessarily surprise me for as much as Dennis Allen likes tweeners and athletes. It's kind of funny because, like, if you ask me a position group that I feel strong about, I would say offensive line. But if you ask me the number one position battle that I'm interested and concerned about, obviously, is what's going to happen at left tackle. But, like, overall, the offensive lineman's a better, stronger, deeper group than we've had. And to be fair, I still think Amagaji was a decent lotto ticket to play, but he needed to completely redshirt last year. And I do not think he should be considered a serious contender for a starting job this year. That obviously to me is a two-way competition between whether Braxton Jones can get back in time to compete or whether Trapio just wins the job, probably. I'm watching to see if Luther Burden signs and if he contributes in camp and if he makes things interesting for Zacchaeus and DJ Moore, for sure. And then honestly, I think I just want to have one Bears training camp where we're not sitting here 3 weeks from now saying that we're concerned about how often the beat writers are writing about how ass the offense looks. I just want it. It doesn't need to be great every day, but like, I would like the narrative to get better as camp goes on because, you know, last year we said this entering Justin Fields' third year. We were like, I just want to hear that camp isn't awful for the offense. And then we kept hearing that camp was awful for the offense. We started getting a bit more concerned, you know, and last year we thought, you know, things will get better as they go along. And it wasn't quite as doom and gloom as the Justin Fields training camp, but there was enough news that you were kind of concerned, especially about the offensive line and how often they were derailing drives and how disjointed everything sounded with Shane Waldron. I would like to hear some optimism in general from the offense as camp goes along. That would be good.
Yeah, I think especially after OTAs, which started off pretty rough for Caleb and then kind of ended well, you know, got better as they went along. I would love to not hear any of that started off rough shit.
Yeah.
Like, I am so tired
of
trying to, I don't think I have it in me anymore to be like, well, we should be optimistic. Oh, he's just putting things together. Well, it's a new offense. He's got a new coach. Like, I would love to see him just be accurate, because one of the things they were saying in OTAs is it's not a timing thing. He's just overthrowing people. He's just missing. And I was like, I'm going to jump off a bridge. Like, straight up. I can't do this if he's bad.
Yeah.
Please, day one, Caleb, go out there, hit the goddamn routes, look decent. Just don't let anybody grab onto these narratives right away.
But, I mean, it does sound, you know, Courtney Cronin especially was like, by the end of OTA, she felt like the offense was consistently ahead of the defense, and Caleb was looking a lot better, so that gave her some hope. So, you just hope that training camp doesn't represent a regression there. I am interested, really, in just hearing what Dennis Allen's defense looks like, and I don't mean, like, whether they look good or bad. I'm really curious how he's going to line up these defensive linemen. I'm really curious about what their fronts look like on a down-to-down basis, because I feel like he's gonna do some weird shit, so I'm interested in that.
I mean, the guys I'm gonna be watching most at the beginning of the season have got to be our defensive line signings. Like, is Grady Jarrett alive? That's one of my favorite players over the last 10 years who hasn't been a Bear, but he's older now. And then we signed that dude, and boy, it sure feels like we could have just kept DeMarcus Walker and got what this guy gives us. So can he impress
you wanna...
me? Can he jump off the page and show that he's actually worth what we paid him? Or is he actually going to seem like just expensive DeMarcus Walker?
Okay. Yeah. I just responded out loud to the text my wife just sent me saying, I just took a Benadryl so I could actually sleep tonight and I'll be crashing out shortly. Feel free to do activities on your own. And I just said, okay, to her text out loud when I'm in the middle of a podcast.
I'm glad that your brain is in a good enough space to just have multiple conversations at once.
So my wife might be seeing the Hat Man tonight. Who knows? Anyways. Yeah, I the defensive line going Grady Jarrett, I think, is really where a lot of this will hinge, because if Grady Jarrett has something left, and especially if he is really able to bounce to be even better than he was in Atlanta now that he's on an offensive line that hopefully does not, especially next to Jervon Dexter, where he hopefully will not be taking all those double teams, or he will be taking all those double teams so that Jervon doesn't have to. If Grady Jarrett can play, that will make a huge difference, I think, in how capable this defense can be. Because Grady Jarrett taking on those double teams opens up a lot of shit. If it sounds like he's lost a step and he's struggling, I think the ceiling of this defense goes down quite a bit. So, yeah, I'm going to be listening. Now, granted, he's a veteran, and he might have a lot of veteran rest days in camp, so maybe we won't have a good idea in camp what he's really looking like. But, yeah, I'm definitely... Grady Jarrett's a guy that I'm going to be interested in. I said it at the draft. I'll say it again. I expect absolutely nothing from Shamar Turner this year. So some people might be monitoring that in camp. I will not be. If the report is that he had a great day, cool. If the report is that he looked like total ass, great. I am not going to be banking anything from Shamar Turner until next year at the earliest.
Yeah, we've talked about this a lot over the last couple of years, specifically because we've had two young interior defensive linemen. But that is a position that takes the longest to develop in the NFL. Even if you get a guy who is like ahead of the curve, a dude like Jalen Carter, a dude like Aaron Donald, they come along exactly at that cadence. You know, you had Aaron Donald and then you had Carter, and that's the amount of time it takes for a defensive tackle to just be that good right away. It usually takes 3 years, 4 years. And then what you're doing is you're essentially, you know, signing this big deal after that, because you can still expect another bump from these guys. That's just that position in the NFL.
I
wouldn't expect anything from him, but a guy we have going into that is Jervon Dexter this year.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm very excited to see what Jervon looks like in year three, what he looks like under Dennis Allen for sure. And I know obviously you're always excited for Jervon Dexter. You feel like that's a shot you feel like you called a long time.
And the other thing is, I feel like Andrew Billings is really getting just like a complete afterthought at this point.
Well, I mean, we haven't seen him.
What happened to the Bears defense every time Billing stepped off the field. To me, I don't want Grady Jarrett starting next to Javon Dexter. I want somebody who can fill in and spell Andrew Billings to where our defense doesn't go from a top 10 unit down to a bottom 10 unit.
I mean, Billings and Grady Jarrett, if those two are healthy and able to do their thing, then I think the ceiling on this defense is actually pretty damn high.
Yeah.
Because you just, they're just so fucking big. They're so big and they move so well for guys that big. And then that's going to let, you know, and then Dennis Allen loves to do sicko shit. And if you have those two guys up front taking on four blockers by themselves, that frees up a lot for doing sicko shit.
Well, and the beautiful thing,
we have the corners to play man to man and enable sicko shit. So there's a very high ceiling for this defense if those two guys look like themselves. But there's two huge caveats there. The one is that Grady Jarrett is old as fuck, and the two is that Andrew Billings is coming off a pretty bad injury. So I am interested to hear what those guys look like as camp goes along.
The good thing is, and I mean, we've seen this before. We kind of talked about this for the last couple of years with other defensive ends we wanted to bring in. But the fewer snaps you take as a defensive lineman, ooh, the better your numbers get per snap, right? The more rest you get, the better you are. And the big problem last year was the wear and tear on Javon Dexter and Andrew Billings.
Yep.
They played too much. They played too many snaps. And by the end of the game, they had nothing left. And they were just shadows of their first and second quarter selves. Grady Jarrett, he's older, but God, Grady Jarrett playing 20 snaps a game, 25 snaps a game, that could be something for you.
Yeah, that's 100% the theory they're rolling with too, is that like we don't need Grady Jarrett to be an every down thumper. We're hoping Grady Jarrett can give Andrew Billings a breather, and Andrew Billings can give Grady Jarrett a breather, and that can keep the two of them being a force all game long. So,
right. Yeah. And of course, you know, put Zach Pickens in the mix. And then, you've got a stew going, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Making the team.
Yeah. I guess that will be one thing I will be monitoring is, does Zach Pickens get any snaps with anybody above like the threes?
Because is that the first cut? Is he first cut, or do we wait? Do we tease it out for Zach to be cut? That's my question. Yeah. I guess I'm going to be monitoring which cut gets rid of Zach Pickens.
Which cut gets rid of? Yeah, exactly. How long do they hold out hope that they can get something for him? Certainly.
And then my eyeball will twitch every time Dom Robinson remains on the team.
And I guess I will wonder if this is the third consecutive camp where Tyler Scott really impresses at everything but catching the ball.
Oh God, Tyler Scott's still on this team.
It's true. It's true. It is true. He's out there. So
you were so excited about
Tyler.
You were
son of a bitch. You know what?
You were talking him up to me, and I told you I deadpanned to you, Kyle. I don't give a fuck about Tyler Scott.
You did say that. Those were your exact words. That was your exact tone of voice. You know what?
I was just like,
sorry. Sorry that a white boy wanted to believe just once, okay?
You had like this this big love of Cincinnati prospects, I feel like, for a little bit. You were just like, I love them Bearcats.
The thing about Tyler Scott is that, like, boy, when the ball's in his hands, he sure looks like a talented player. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening before that that isn't going so hot. So, and you know what? The reports out of camp were inspiring last year, goddammit. There were reports. Sorry that in America I still believe in freedom of the press and journalism, and that I trusted our boys in the field that they were giving me accurate reports. Okay, I'm so sorry for that. All right.
Thank you for apologizing. Have you seen, by the way, that the most hyped training camp battle, however, has been for the linebacker, the extra linebacker spot we've got floating around out there?
Oh God!
People
please tell me they're not
talking about Hippolyta.
No, they're not.
They are. They
We're
are.
We're not doing this. No.
If he starts week one,
I don't give a fuck about Hippolyta.
Are we going to have a stroke?
I.
We don't. Well, we don't have a linebacker for that spot right now. Like, quite frankly, so there is an open competition there. There's no question. So it's possible that this dude who could barely get playing time at Maryland is out here starting week one for the Bears. How's that make you feel, Kyle?
I ain't buying it.
Okay.
I ain't buying it.
We will set that in stone. Kyle is not buying that shit. So it's going to be Sewell then, is what you're thinking.
Yeah, well, I guess
Sewell was. Oh, shit. Oh.
Sewell was Reuben Hippolyte before Reuben Hippolyte, so.
That's right.
I guess, you know, maybe that is the, that's a good question. I wonder who. Wow. That's like a training camp competition between Tyler Scott and Velus Jones. It's just like a guy versus his direct to DVD sequel. So
that's correct. This is one of these old school Bears competitions in training camp where you're like, oh, whoever wins doesn't really matter, does it? We're unhappy regardless.
Yeah.
Tremaine Edmonds is still in the middle. Wow. Very sneakily, this linebacker core has become so depressing, Kyle.
Sometimes you spend $72 million on linebackers, and 2 years later, you still don't have any linebackers.
Who could have guessed? They
extended TJ Edwards, you know, who might be dead. We'll have to see. That definitely would, if the defense does end up underperforming, that's definitely a possible wink link there, is that the linebackers just aren't up to par, which, fortunately, this is not as linebacker dependent of a scheme.
Very true. Lose,
because most people in 2025 don't have a linebacker dependent scheme. So that's.
Do you get the sense that Dennis Allen's just looking at Tremaine Edmonds like, I don't need you to do any of this. Like, why are you here?
I think he's probably just looking at him like, please don't get hurt. Please. Have you seen our depth chart, son?
I don't have anybody else.
I don't. Yeah. So.
I hadn't actually thought about that because, yeah, if we don't have Tremaine, then we're starting Sewell and Hippolyte. How's that sound?
That doesn't sound good.
That is not a run defense, I'll tell you that. That's 5 yards of carry right there, my friend.
Lord. Oh,
my God. What else were we going to talk about today? Is this all the news? Are we just fretting about training camp?
I think that's what we got. You know, we might have to call it a little early tonight. So,
jeez, 42 well, but next minutes week, for the people.
I mean, will camp have been rolling by next week?
Yeah.
Will
we have training camp starts. Live camp rookies report in 2 days. They report the 19th.
Okay, yeah, and I guess you're going to make me rank quarterbacks. So maybe I'll spend some time trying to think of how I can get out of that and still produce content.
That's right. Next week, quarterback rankings. Folks, Kyle's afraid because he knows I've been staring at mine for like months now for no reason. Yeah. Just tweaking it a little bit, adding notes and shit.
I gotta figure out where to put Jaden Daniels in a way that won't make more people yell at me. Yeah.
Yes.
And you're gonna yell at me about Jalen Hurts as it is. And I'm still probably gonna put him lower than you'd like.
So. You fucking better not. God. I have seen people are still shit. The man has a Super Bowl ring on his finger.
So he's does throwing Trent for 8 Dilfer, yards per for attempt. God's sake, come on.
He is throwing for 8 yards per attempt. Yeah, Trent Dilfer. 8 yards per attempt multiple seasons. And we're like, yeah, that fucking guy could be better. The Eagles should probably try to get better at quarterback. Like, okay, but yeah, okay, so we got a couple minutes. We can remind the people our quarterback rankings are a little bit different than other people's, Kyle. Our rankings are
we doing
not
the
about future.
Again?
Yeah, they're not about future projections.
And they're
not
just
about
for the
contracts.
Upcoming season. Yeah.
We are talking about next season. Who would you want, this guy or that guy, if you only need them for one season? What's your ranking of quarterbacks? So, I mean, that's me reminding the folks. It's also me reminding Kyle because he's going to go out there with a pencil and paper and start thinking about it tomorrow, I guess.
I guess.
and we'll see you next week. We'll hit up the QB. Dude, if we get this out, we might, for one season, be ahead of all the people who throw all their shit out.
Yeah, we might.
I would like that. I would like to see what other people think.
We'll try to stick to a more consistent weekly schedule from here on out, you know, because we're actually entering the season and stuff.
Well, now we have Bears content.
We do, yeah. When there's, we did our tournament, but after the draft, I need a break after the draft every year. I really do.
Okay, yeah, also, we have time. I almost forgot. I was going to say we received a lot of very kind emails, and I am going to attempt not to be emotional, but it was very nice what people sent.
Are we going to be crying in the club here?
I saw some stuff, and I didn't think that it mattered that much to me, but then I read some very kind words people. There were also some emails that got sent out from people that were like, don't you dare short shrift us on these tournament episodes, because we had talked about, we were talking out loud. I should have talked to Kyle before that podcast about it, but... You know, I had seen the numbers last year for the tournament. I was like, man, I think that just, it just went on too long. And I think it was kind of a drag.
Petered out.
And it was just an aside. It honestly was not anything that I really meant to put out into the atmosphere. But we got some very kind messages that were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, talk as much as you want. Please give me more shit. Like, you know, we really enjoyed that. And I was like, well, that's nice. We finished this up. It did really well. A lot of nice things were said, and I just want to let everybody know that I'm very appreciative of that. So thank you to everybody out there who's listening.
You gotta forward me some of these emails, man.
I know. I will send you some of these nice comments.
I love nothing more than people heaping praise upon me. So
that's right. That is a good point. Yeah. That's a good one. But yes, it made me feel warm and fuzzy. So I did want to shout you guys out. You know,
no kidding.
That's very nice. Thank you.
We do love our loyal readers. I don't know, or our loyal listeners. I don't know why you guys are here, but we're glad you are. That's for sure.
Right. Kyle and I, when we started doing this again, we were like, if one person
we'd built up a decent group of people that listened to the old podcast and then, you know, that read the blog, but you know, we'd let that all peter away, thought after 9 years, ain't nobody gonna tune into this shit. And we're surprised every week that people do. So
that's right. We just wanted to start yelling at each other about the Bears in person.
We did.
Kyle had gotten to the point where he was calling me, and he was like, look, we have to
I'm getting too old to type everything. I gotta yell into the machine. I gotta yell into the box.
So. Kyle said to me 2 texts in a row, and he's like, this is not acceptable. I have to call you so I can get all of this out. That's basically why this podcast started.
And if you guys know how hard it is to get Travis to actually answer his fucking phone. Oh my God.
It's very difficult. Also, you know what? It doesn't help that you will accidentally like fat finger that call button
all the time. I have a tendency to pocket dial everyone and everything. Our good friend Eric laughed very hard because last week I discovered for the first time that you can in fact butt dial someone from Discord. So that was a new frontier for me. It used to be Facebook Messenger. I did that all the time, about once a day. I'd butt dial everybody. So
that's
I'm breaking new frontiers and butt dialing every week.
So really, you desensitize me to not answer the phone.
It's true.
Accidentally.
One of these days, I'm gonna be dying, and the only person I can try to call will be Travis, and he's just gonna be like, he's probably fucking butt dialing me again.
That's a good. God damn it! Now I'm gonna have to pick up the fucking phone.
I'm gonna think
about it every time.
What'll be funny is that I'll be like trapped in my car, like in a car accident, and I literally will be dialing like with my ass because I can't reach my phone. I'm like, if I could just get this call out to Travis, we were just chatting. If I just bump my ass enough, I will call him and he will answer, and you'll just let it go and I'll bleed out.
We'll just leave a loud message of you dying and I'll get the idea. I'll listen to it.
Just a voicemail of me.
That's right.
Anyways, what a place to end. All right. Well, speaking of car crashes, I'll have my QB list next week, folks.
Yeah, hope you do. All right. See everybody.
Chicago, and people I sure do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.